So I'm having dinner the other night with some friends of mine, and there is a prophet there, a man that literally hears from God and speaks some of the thoughts of God about a person. And this man started prophesying over another person. He had never seen him before. His name was John Paul Jackson. You tell me. I heard him say that you were a prophet.
Yes.
I heard him say you specialize in dreams.
Yes.
And then a number of other things. But it must be so strong. I mean, were you kind of taken aback that this stranger read your mail?
I loved it. I called my wife and she said, now you know how other people feel when you come into the room and tell them. Because I was it was such a wonderful thing that happened. What happened, Sid, is this. And God, who is eternal, sees outside of time. And he sees what is going to happen to you. And he will send various men and women to you, or angels to you, or he will speak to you, he will appear to you, he makes himself known to you to help you achieve the purpose for which he put you here on earth.
And this prophet nailed him and then talked about his move that he was planning about, and just one fact after another, everyone was overwhelmed because this prophet knew nothing. But the reason I had this prophet, and the reason you're about to meet him, is I was at a meeting. He'd never heard my name before. He's from Ghana. He knew nothing about me. And I want you to see just a tiny bit of what he prophesied. And trust me, it's a tiny bit because it went on and on and on. And some of the things you'll figure out. The others, well, I'm waiting for God to cause them to happen. But you know what? I believe they're going to happen, and I believe that something special is going to happen to you. Let's go to that clip right now.
I heard the word of the Lord say that God said, I'm raising you up, and your voice, just stand up. Your voice is going to be heard on the airwaves and the internet. And God said, I'm going to begin to give you an awesome power. When I got here, I shook your hand, and God told me he's taking you to another level. And God said, son, I'm going to cause your words to go across the waters. And God said, many are going to come into the kingdom of God. God said, son, I'm going to call Amanda, Simbrunda, Bambro City. God said, I'm going to cause you to do things that the average media or the average airwaves don't do it. You are going to be a radical for Jesus. And God said, I'm going to begin to give you things and you're going to begin to do and talk about subjects that the average media would not do it. Because if they do it, they're going to fire them. But God said, I'll put a fire into you like Jeremiah. And I'm going to use you to minister to the Jews. I see you talking to businessmen. I see you talking to engineers. I see you talking to doctors. And God said, son, I'm going to use you because I'm anointing your voice. And I'm raising you up as a Jeremiah of your generation. You're going to speak the word of the Lord. You're going to put things together. You're going to coordinate. And God said, a testimony is going to go across the internet and the airwaves and the media.
I don't know about you, but I am awed of what this gift is that's sitting right next to me. His name is Dr. Charles Dixon. And he was raised in Ghana. He was going to be a priest. And he had an encounter with God. And is it true they sent you to a psychiatrist?
Yeah, they wanted to check my brains because it was so much. God was just using me. I was getting to know the Bible. I was teaching and preaching the seminary. And they said, you cannot do that. So they sent me to go check to the psychiatrist. I went 3 times. And then when I was there, he said, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with you. As a matter of fact, God, you have an encounter with God. And that's what happened.
Okay, but then you heard God speak to you and said you were a prophet and you had a problem with that. Why?
As a matter of fact, let me give it a background here. Because when I was conceived by my mother, she was a young girl, 15. My daddy was 17. And so, of course, two young people getting together, teenagers. So my dad one day, my mom told my dad, I'm pregnant. My dad asked a $6 million question. How did that happen? Of course, when two teenagers, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know why. So they tried to get rid of me. They tried to abort me. But see, what my mom and my dad did not know, that I was wonderful and fearful made. I was made in the image and likeness of God. And I carried the DNA of God. And you can't kill the DNA of God. You can't abort the plan of God. The only person who can abort the plan of God is you. Not even Satan, not me. So my mom and dad tried 3 times. My mom bled, but you know, they thought they had gotten rid of me. But I keep growing, growing, growing. Just like Jeremiah, God said, before you and your mother's womb, I knew you and ordained you as a prophet. How can you kill the voice of God?
So you have this encounter with God. Yeah. They send you to a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. The psychiatrist says, you're okay, but yeah. You're not okay for the seminary.
Exactly.
And then you hear the voice of God, and he says you are a prophet. What did you think? What did you say?
Well, because, no, of course, you said a Catholic seminary. So I was raised up, and I thought the only person who knew and heard the voice of God was the Pope. And here, I hear the voice of God, and God tells me, Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon you, because God has anointed you. And he was saying all this. I said, wait a minute. As a young man, I was excited. But when I went and told people, they say, you better be careful. We told you not to read the Bible. You see, you're getting crazy already. As a young man, I was afraid, I was confused.
But as time passed, you began to realize it was God speaking. What happened when you had a vision of the woman that was going to be your wife? Tell me about that.
Okay, I was traveling as a minister, and I was single, and then I received a phone call from a pastor 3 times to come to Miami and minister. I was traveling, so I was tired. And I told the pastor, no, I'm not going to go. And so when I hung the phone, all of a sudden, God showed me a vision. I said, God, what is this? And God said, look at this. I saw a beautiful lady in a red dress. And God
I'll tell you what, you're going to meet that beautiful lady, and you're going to find out that it was a true vision from God. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
Hello, YouTube Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
So Charles is hearing voices, he's having visions, they're all turning out to be true. He really is a prophet, and he really can hear God's voice. And then he has a vision of who his wife will be. And he goes to a meeting, he's a keynote speaker, and there is a woman there that is the exact person he saw in his vision of who his wife is going to be. And Burl, you were a politician, so you were seated with the speakers and the and the celebrities. And he gave you a prophetic word when he first saw you. What was that word?
Well, the first thing out of his mouth was that he saw me involved in the governmental arena. And in fact, he said, I see you flying on the plane with the President of the United States of America. You will be flying on Air Force One. And people will ask why, and God said that you're my handmaiden and I handpicked you to be with the president.
And what did you think?
I thought, oh, that's a false prophet.
Now, why didn't you just say, you're supposed to be my wife, come to your senses, what's the matter with you, Charles?
Because you don't use the prophetic word to manipulate people.
Of course, but if I don't know whether I could have held that back if I
was struggling, but I'm a mature prophet, and I've been in the ministry for so long. So it's the timing. If God speaks something to you, the time will come to
pass. Yeah, but she thinks you're a false prophet. Yeah. So then, how did it happen that you gave her 3 prophecies? Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Okay. One, within 2 weeks that she was going to fly on the Air Force, she received a phone call from the White House.
Really?
I did. Actually, within the 2-week period after receiving the word and me calling him a false prophet, I had a call from the White House, and they said the president would invite you to fly on Air Force One with him. This is the location you would meet him if you accept, and you will fly out of the country with the president and meet with the president of another country.
So you immediately probably thought this guy is a real prophet.
Well, actually, at first I thought my staff was playing a joke on me because they heard of the prophecy.
Oh, I see.
So I did not return a call to the White House. And after the second call, they wanted to know if I was going to respond. My staff said, we're not playing a joke. This is very serious. So I had them contact the White House and everything was arranged. And it was exactly as prophesied to me.
Okay. When did you tell her that she's supposed to be your wife, or did you never?
No, I told her. After we became friends, she was doing business, a business for me, because she's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And God told her to do some legal things for me, and then we became friends. So after a period of 4, 5, 6 months, and one day we went for lunch, and she asked me, because Beryl is very plain, what is your intention?
Well, you know what, you were interested in marrying him, right?
No, I was not interested in him at all. So
why?
I wanted to make sure
she
that
told me I was
he
not
understood
type.
That whatever relationship we had was purely professional and that God had only asked me to assist him legally. And most of the time when I was meeting different men traveling around the world, I would find that they would be interested after a period of time. I wanted to ensure up front that that would not be his intention, because I would not acquiesce at all.
Okay, so she tells you this good news,
yeah.
And what do you do about it?
I told her that I'm interested in her, and she told me point blank, you are not my type. Why? Because you're too short. I never knew I was short until I met Beryl.
Okay, so how did you get to be man and wife?
Eventually, I told her she was resisting, but then I asked her, I said, Beryl, would you do whatever God tells you to do? She said, yes. Then I hung the phone up. She called me, said, why did you ask me that question? I said, 3 things are going to happen. You're going to have a dream. In the dream, we're going to be marrying, and I described the dream. You're going to be sitting on the edge of your bed, and you're going to be planning our wedding. And the 3rd thing is that you are going to be driving your black Mercedes Benz, and guess what? You're going to stop and be making wedding plans. Every time she had...
And making what?
Wedding plans for our wedding.
Wedding plans.
She said, wait a minute, this thing is never going to happen. When she had the first dream, when she had the dream that we're getting married, early in the morning she was having breakfast, I called her. I said, oh, last night you had the dream, eh?
Wait a second. How did you know that she had that dream last night?
Because prophets download information from God.
That's good enough for me. What about you? What did you think? You're having breakfast. You're minding your own business. You've had this dream, and he's on the other end of the phone, and he's not your type.
Well, I decided that was only one. He said 3, so I was still good. There were 2 more things that needed to happen, and I did not believe they would happen.
And?
The second event occurred that he mentioned to me, and he called after the second event. By then, I was crying. I said, God, you can't do this to me. You said you would give me the desires of my heart, and this is not my desire. And then the 3rd thing happened, and he called again. Of course, I mean, I'm a wise woman. I would never call him and tell him they happened. I didn't want this into beginning. The 3rd thing happened. I was prostrate before the Lord in tears. And God finally spoke to me, and he said, this is not about you. This is about the kingdom. This is about my work. And you are a minute part of this entire picture. I just hand selected you for this because I want to use you in the gift, in the anointing.
And yet, when you became man and wife, there was something about the presence of God for the prophecy on him that jumped on you.
Absolutely. The Bible says that the 2 become one flesh. And he explained that to me. In fact, when he married me, he said that I release the gift, the anointing that's in my life upon your life, and I transfer what God has given me into your life. And that transfer was a literal transfer from heaven, because right after that, everything I began to see in the realm of the Spirit, I began to hear in the realm of the Spirit in ways that I never imagined.
Can you give me a specific example?
Surely. We went to a conference. I actually had never lined people up to prophesy and probably would not. We went to a conference and he kept telling me, the gift is on you because you are a Dixon and you have to walk in the Dixon anointing. And I thought, okay, I'm a Dixon, yes, but that anointing, no. And as much as I desired it, but normally he would have me call people and he would prophesy and I may give a word or two. That particular time he had me call. But when I turned around, he said, I want you to prophesy to the first one. I did. He left the room and left all 15 people there standing. And this was actually just a week after we were married. We went to a conference and I prophesied to every individual there. They came and testified. The pastor stood up and testified. I knew then that there had been a transfer from heaven on my life.
You must have panicked a little when you saw him walk out the room, though.
You know, God has a sense of humor. I actually did not see him walk out of the room.
Oh, okay.
So I stood there with the mic calling for him and waiting like everyone else for him to arrive on the scene.
Now,
to prophesy.
Why did you walk out of the room?
I walked out of the room because, again, she said God has got a sense of humor. And I waited till she turned her back. And then I disappeared. And then she began to prophesy. She was doing good. So when she got in the middle of about seven people, she was looking for me to prophesy. I wasn't there. So she was in the limelight. She had no choice but to continue. God will set us up to be blessed.
You know what I believe? I believe that when the two of them pray for you when we come back, that the gift of prophecy is going to start being activated in your life. And he may even, or Beryl, that's his wife, may even prophesy to you. Be right back after this word. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Charles and Beryl Dixon, and both of them move in what is known as prophecy. They know things that are going to happen in the future. But Charles, it increased dramatically when you had a visitation to heaven. Tell me about that.
Yeah, one day, you know, God just invited me to go to heaven. I didn't know. I was just praying, and all of a sudden, somebody came in the room, a presence, light, bright. And I know it's an angel. Then just all of a sudden, out of my body, I went to heaven. And God began to show me things and tell me different things. And when I came, it totally transformed my anointing and my ministry.
Beryl, you're the one that knows the most. What difference do you see since his trip to heaven?
Well, first I have to say that my husband has several trips to heaven. That was probably one of the
earlier ones. Unfair. Listen, when I heard it was one, I was going to leave you alone. But if you've had several, I haven't had any. What is this? I
God
protest.
Is a good guy.
And because of the level of the anointing that he walks in, he sees angels. We could be in the hotel, in the restaurant, in the service, in a studio. It doesn't matter. He knows and physically sees when the angel is into the room and can tell you exactly the position of the angel and what they're doing, the size, everything.
Give me a couple examples of people that you have prophesied over and what's happened to them.
I was in a meeting there, a ministry, and it was about 15 minutes before we would close the meeting. A gentleman whisked in, come to sit down, and the moment he sits down, God tells me, prophesy to him. The moment I look over that man, I had an open vision. What is an open vision? Just like you are watching a television. So I called the man. I told him, this is the word of the Lord. Don't declare bankruptcy.
Yes.
And I prayed for him, and I told him, within a short time, God is going to turn your finances around. He began to cry. I thought, no big deal. At the end of the service, the pastor and the gentleman called me to his office, the pastor's office. And he said the reason why the gentleman was late is he was in his lawyer's office filling out the papers trying to declare bankruptcy. I said, did you hear the word of the Lord? Of course, went back and forth. So finally, the pastor convinced him, you better listen to Prophet Dixon. Within 3 weeks, the guy had a contract, $1.6 million.
Yes.
See, the prophetic brings life. Beryl will tell you, last 2 weeks, we were in a city that Beryl was having a conference, and there was a gentleman who came and testified. He said, would you take an office?
Sure. He came and testified that we came to the church for the very first time, didn't know anyone, the pastor or anyone, ministered to him that he was in a very difficult situation that actually had stripped his career from him, that it was involving a rape, but that he was innocent and that God would avenge, God would come in and God would set him free. But there was no possibility because it involved the military. They had had the trial, we later found out, and he was accused of raping an individual. We came back the second time and said, God, you think that God forgot you, but God said, I don't have amnesia, and you will be set free. And not only will you be set free, but your finances will be restored with increase. We came the third time, and I gave him a word and said, God said that you're about to walk in that breakthrough anointing, and you're on the brink of walking in what God has spoken to you. Now we've gone for the fourth time. He had his rank restored. They gave him the back pay. The lady who alleged the rape against him came and confessed that he was not the one, that it was another individual, and that she lied on him. Now all the land and property that we prophesied, he has now obtained, and he is walking in the millionaire anointing.
I can tell you what I need you two to do. I need you two to join hands. Would you do that? And I need you to look into the camera and pray a prayer of impartation, and then prophesy whatever area God shows either of you. Would you do that now?
Father, I pray that as your children begin to watch this telecast, you release that spirit, that prophetic anointing, that will become sensitive to the Spirit of God, and that they'll begin to flow, that your name shall be glorified. We release it. Father, we speak it.
Lord, stir up the anointing that you've placed into your children. Father, allow the prophetic anointing to rise up and to manifest itself, that you may be glorified in this time. Lord God, release that which you've declared in the heavens into the earthly realm in your children, that they may be a testimony that you are still alive and that you are speaking now to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Charles, ask the Lord to prophesy to people just for a minute now.
I'm beginning to see, there was a prophecy that God has been showing me, and when I get prophecies, I tell Beryl because I forget it. So Beryl, what was the prophecy I told you about the United States?
Just a couple weeks ago, my husband began to prophesy to me and speak, and the Lord was showing him that in the eastern portion of the United States, that there is a fresh revival coming to that area, that God is beginning to cause a flame to what people in the past have seen as an area that's dead, but now the revival and the Holy Spirit is going to speak fresh, and it is going to be a spark to cause a revival even in this nation. And even in the political arena in that area, God is getting ready to make a change. Where there was darkness, there is now going to be light. Even policies are going to begin to change in the political arena because of the fresh anointing and revival that's coming to that area.
Amen.
There is such a presence of God here. There is such a presence of God here. I have a prophetic word for you, and it's the surest prophetic word you'll ever hear. It comes from the Jewish prophet Daniel in the 12th chapter. This is what he says. Those that are buried in the dust, some shall rise to everlasting life, and some to everlasting condemnation. So the Jewish scriptures talk about everlasting life or everlasting condemnation and rising from the dead. You don't just die and that's it. So the question is, where is your everlasting? There is no other name given unto men in which we must be saved. Saved from what? Separated from our sins, so that we can bask in the presence of God, in the glory of God, the peace of God. That peace that you've been feeling as we've been discussing it, it's the peace of the glory of God, the peace of the Spirit of God. So you'll either one or two prayers, you must do it, otherwise you don't know when your end will come, and it's everlasting life or everlasting condemnation. Either say, God, tell me the truth about Jesus, or go for the gold right now and say, God, I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus died in my place, and I make him my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.